Hey, this is Jason Paul of ProWrestling.net here with an audio preview of the interview I conducted with former WWE star Shane Hurricane Helms on Friday, August 12th, 2011. What you're about to hear is just basically a few snippets from the interview as Shane discusses his iPhone app, the last day of WCW Nitro, and some issues he encountered early in his WWE career. The actual full interview is available exclusively to ProWrestling.net members. It's a two-hour interview, and we cover a variety of topics, including Shane's run with WWE as the Hurricane, some issues that he's encountered over the years with WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels, his take on the internet and the approach to covering pro wrestling, a flaw that occurred in the WWE wellness testing program, and a lot more. It's an interview that I think some people over on the .NET member side of things went in not expecting to like Shane Helms a whole lot based on some of the things they wrote in the .NET members forum, and in several cases they came away feeling differently about Shane. I'm really happy with the interview, and again, it's available exclusively to ProWrestling.net members. If you're listening to this in mid-August, then now is a great time to sign up because we actually have a summer special going on. It's not going to last long, and the special is that if for 1 month of .NET membership, it's just $5. If you want to lock yourself in at that rate for a full year, you can also do so. If you're listening on iTunes, just head on over to ProWrestling.net. You can't miss the sale listing on the right side of the screen, and you click on that and you enter some access codes, and again, you can either get that 1 month for $5, or if you want to take advantage of this offer while it lasts, because it's not going to be around long, lock yourself in for just $60 for an entire 12-month period. Again, $5 a month, either way you look at it, it's a hell of a deal. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. Having said that, here you go with the preview of the Shane Helms interview.
Tell me all about the Shane Helms iPhone app.
It was an idea that, the idea for the iPhone app spawned in my head the second I got my iPhone. You know, the second I got my iPhone and I started realizing what all the apps were out there and what all you could do and all the fun you could have. And so I was like, man, this would be cool for like a wrestling, you know, for a wrestling group. I could see the WWE having one. And that was my first thought, the WWE having one. You know, I was such a company guy.
Yeah.
And but then I kind of thought, nah, I wonder if I could just have one for myself. But I was afraid to tell them the idea because I knew they would take it. You know, here's a story just exclusive for you. My whole angle with me coming back from my neck injury, I was going to come back as the Hurricane initially. I never was going to come back without the mask.
Yeah.
I was going to do this whole angle where I was afraid to fly, like because of my neck, like, and, you know, they flew me up to Stanford, and we had this big meeting in the, you know, writer's room, and all the writers are there, you know, so they know the story. And even to the spot where I would get it, I would go to climb up to the top rope and be afraid and climb back down and go in the ring until I finally overcame my fear of my neck injury. Well, when Cena ended up having a very minor neck injury that was nowhere near as catastrophic as mine was, they stole my whole idea and gave it to him.
Oh.
Yeah, and, I mean, I guess because he wasn't over at the time and he needed something strong. I mean, he was only the most over guy in the company. And so, yeah, that kind of led to the whole pop-up thing because they were kind of like, Vince loved my humor and they wanted to throw me a bone. But that led to the whole me doing a pop-up her pop thing, whatever we called it. I can't remember. But yeah, they took my whole story and gave it to Cena and then stole it from me.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
Why, too, they didn't even want to acknowledge my neck injury. JR was the one that went out of his way. JR just said, hell with it, I'm going to talk about it. You know, he told me that in catering because they wouldn't really talk about it at first. They didn't even want me to talk about it.
So
crazy.
Well, two guys can't be named Shane in that company and two guys can't have a neck injury at the same time?
I guess, but, you know, I was really pissed off about that, you know, because, you know, obviously my injury was way worse. You know, severing your spinal cord is a pretty big deal, you know.
Yeah.
So mine was way, and I mean, I don't want to say I severed, but I was close. I was as close as you can get. And, But like I said, anyway, so that's why I said I don't want to give them the idea because I knew that they would give it to somebody else. Or they would, you know, that's the first thing they would do. They would made a, you know, a Cena app or for these other guys. And so that's why I never even brought it to their attention. And so anyway, once I got released, you know, the thing started kind of falling in place here and there, you know, and as fate would have it, Canyon, who was one of my longtime friends in the business and out of the business as well. You know, he ended up being friends with a group of guys that were in the wanting to get into the business and make an iPhone app. And when he took his life, we kind of all got closer by that. And then that's when the revelation came on what they were doing. And I was like, really? I said, I've been trying to do this for a while. So it just kind of seemed like a little fadey type thing. And I'm not a big believer in all that stuff, but it did kind of seem like something kind of guided us together. And so we just jumped on the project, and there it is. You know, that's where I got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And, I just wanted to be the first. I wanted to be the first guy to do it. You know, I was like the first guy on MySpace when that got big, and really the first guy on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. I've got the longest wrestler run website ever. And so, I was really big on just trying to be the first guy to plant that flag on the moon and say I was here first. You know, and if my app does good, you know, of course it's going to lead the way to other guys. And trust me, other guys are already in talks with this company about making theirs. So it's going to be, there will be others that follow, as well they should, because there's so many cool things you could do with your app. And mine's already been updated. There was an update submitted today. You know, it just came out less than a month ago, and we're already, like, updating it with some really cool things. So I'm going to stay on top of it, you know, and make it as good as I can.
Now, it's 99 cents a month. And
a big whopping 99 cents.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it 99 cents a month, and how do people go about getting this? And talk about some of the features as well.
Well, if you got an iPhone app, you just go to the App Store and type in Shane Holmes. I mean, if you got an iPhone, that's all you do. And I guess it works on, like, the iPad and iTouch.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a camera, you won't get some of the photo option, which is what everybody likes. That's what everybody likes the most. You know, if you've followed me on my Twitter, ShaneHolmes.com, you see I keep putting up pictures as a photo option where you can, like, overlay me in any picture you take. So that's why people are getting the most done. And my friends have been the very mature friends that I have. They put me in the most insane situations, you know, nudity and all kind of crazy stuff, you know, just guys with my buddies will send me a picture and it'll be me, like, pointing at their ass, and it's like all this kind of crazy shit. So I'm still waiting on my female friends to, like, jump on that part of the bandwagon.
Right. I mean, what other options do you have on there other than the photo? What are some of the things that people can look forward to if they download the app?
Well, the new version is going to have something called the Magic H-Ball. It's kind of like the Magic 8-Ball, but the answers are in a very Shane Holmes tone and a non-PG style. But the answers will be pretty hysterical. On the current version, there's a soundboard with some of the stupid stuff I'm saying. Some of the stuff I kind of got known for saying on my Highway to Home show. There's a schedule, which, of course, the schedule really ain't much going on there right now. But, of course, like, once I'm up and running, the schedule is automatically updated. And then, you know, it's got something real cool. It's just got links to all the social media stuff that's out there. You know, Facebook, the Twitter, my website, you know, even MySpace. For whatever reason, MySpace is still big in Europe. You know, I don't know anybody in America that uses it, but for some reason it's still big over there. So, you know, I just kept it up for my European fans. And that's, you know, it's basically what it is. It's kind of like a really miniaturized, condensed version of a website, but it's right in your hand, and it has all these other features that you can interact with.
And it's not available on Android yet. How close are you to getting there?
I don't know. It was something with the camera. The overlay of the camera is the only thing that's got the Android thing on hold. Like, I don't actually make them, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but all I'm hearing is that it's really close, and that's all I'm hearing. I mean, if I could have had it out yesterday, it would have been out, you know. Because I didn't even know how big the Android market was. You know, all I know is everybody I know has an iPhone.
Right.
And I hear, like, Canada is just huge for the Android market. And, you know, so the Droid Store, I mean, it's just big in Canada and other places. It's big in America, too, obviously, because I get that question, you know, 9,000 times a day. When is it coming out for the Droid? And I just, like, I wish I knew. I don't know, but...
What was your mindset? I mean, other than the obvious concern over whether your contract is going to be picked up, I mean, a lot of guys I remember talking to about that final Nitro, and it was a really mixed reaction. You know, I mean, for some it was doom and gloom, it was the end of an era. For others, WCW had been run so poorly that they couldn't wait, even if they didn't know what their own future was, they couldn't wait to get out of there and just find out what was next, and you know, obviously hopeful they'd get picked up by WWE.
Yeah, it was definitely a mixture of both, you know, because like I said, I had funny WCW. You know, like when they interviewed me for the Death of WCW DVD that the WCW put out,
yeah,
like, they were really hoping for me to bury him, but I didn't really have nothing bad to say. You know, like, I wasn't going to make up nothing. You know, Bischoff hired me. Russo was kind of instrumental in the three count shit. I was like, I can't go bury these guys that, you know, helped me. You know, they didn't do nothing to me. Could they have ran the company better? Of course. You know, that's without a doubt, without a fact. And that's stuff that they'll tell you. But I didn't really have nothing to say to bury it. So, I mean, I'd have had a good time in WCW. But you could see, like, the attendance was starting to fall off, you know, because they cut the marketing budget down to nothing. And if nobody knows we're in town, then nobody can come anyway.
Right.
You know, that's one thing that, you know, you gotta promote. If nobody knows we're here, you could have Elvis Presley in the building. If nobody knows he's here, it ain't gonna mean shit, you know. So attendance was starting to lag, and when they would do those double tapings, they would do Thunder and Nitro on the same night, and it would be so long, and the crowd would just be dead by the end of Thunder. And two, a lot of the top guys didn't want to stay that long anyway. So it'd be hard pressed to get some of the top guys to even stay for Thunder and do a match. And that was really the death of the, I mean, one of the things that really hurt WCW so bad is that some of those top guys, that they didn't want to work, they didn't.
Man.
That was how their contract was. And we would do house shows all the time, but so many guys didn't show up. Only a handful of guys did. You know, I remember Sting being there all the time, DDP, Booker, and like Scott Steiner were like the four that were always there. I mean, always there religiously. I can't really think of any of the other top guys that were there a lot. There were some top guys like I never saw. I would see them at TV. I never see them at house shows, never see them at Thunder, and that was it. And they would always do these announcements before every show. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to tell you this guy won't be here. Now let's bring out three count. And it was like that for every fucking show. You know, so.
Shane, was it growing up in the South, was it your dream to work for WCW, or did you have a preference for the WWF back in those days?
Both. I never picked. You know, yeah. I wasn't. You know, people ask me that about comics. They're like Marvel, DC. I'm like, no, I just like comics.
Sure.
You know, same with wrestling. I just liked it all. You know, I loved Ric Flair, and I loved Randy Savage. Those are my two favorites of all time. The two, I think, in my mind, are the best of all time. And so, you know, I had a guy, you know, Mid-Atlantic, growing up in North Carolina, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, you're going to love Ric Flair, you know, at some point. So.
Of course.
That was a no-brainer. But Savage, you know, when I first saw Savage, I was enthralled with Savage from, I guess I was 12 when I first saw him, 12, 11. I was just a maniac. You know, I was just tweeting the other day how I would, my ninth grade year, I was wrestling 103 pounds. In the morning announcements, when they would announce the winners from the wrestling matches the night before,
yeah,
the high school matches, I mean, they would call me Shane Macho Man Helms.
Oh, I saw that tweet, as a matter of fact.
I was 103 pounds. Now, one time during, I got in trouble. I could have got in trouble, but I didn't. Like, there was a kid in the gymnasium, and he was asleep on one of those mats. It was like a big, thick mat that they folded like a gymnastics mat.
Yeah.
And he was asleep on it, and the bleachers were closed. They were pressed against the wall, and that mat was kind of close to it. The mat was probably about 7 or 8 feet out from it.
Okay.
And I snuck up the bleachers, up one end of it, and snuck down there. My friend is watching this, and this would have been like where we needed an iPhone to record this. And this kid is down there just sleeping because he got out of PE somehow. Totally oblivious. And I come flying off the top bleachers, and Randy Savage elbow smashed the kid to death. I mean, totally, I didn't know how to take care of him or nothing. It was all body weight, all 100 pounds of me. Just right on his damn chest. And I just remember him just like crying and coughing and rolling over. And me and my friend took off running, laughing like hyenas. That was just a maniac. I loved wrestling so good. I got disqualified in amateur wrestling like 3 or 4 times. Like for DDTing people. I almost had this kid in a figure four one time. I mean, I was to the point where I was going down. I was about to lock it in. And the referee goes, you can't put a man in the figure four. I was like, why not? I wasn't even young at that point. I was a senior when I did that.
Right.
I can't even use the young and stupid, just the stupid part.
Well, you get to the WWF, and, you know, I mean, I remember at the time there were some people, and I think Matt was one of them that, at least legend has it, that, you know, he was one of the people a little bit cautious of the fact that, you know, WWE was going to give some of the WCW wrestlers pushes right out of the gate. And I think the mindset was, hey, you know, we were the ones who helped you guys put these guys out of business. Now you just want to push these guys. Did you get a lot of that? And was Matt, you know, was that kind of his mindset at the time?
That was a lot of guys' mindset.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. I mean, WCW, we were coming in. You know, initially the idea was that WCW was going to get its own show. You know, there was all these brand ideas.
Right.
You know, much like what's going on right now with the UFC and Strikeforce.
Sure.
That is almost a total copy of what happened back then. And that was the idea. But until that happened, and there was no guarantee that that was going to happen, you know, as the WCW guys were being introduced into the mix, there's only so much, you know, only so many minutes in a two-hour TV program, only so many guys you can have on TV. So for every WCW guy that came into the company, a WWE guy wasn't going to be on TV that week. So, of course, they didn't like that.
Yeah.
You know, you want that TV time is invaluable. TV time is where we get paid the least. So it ain't about wanting to work. It's about wanting the exposure.
Was it? Did guys understand, though, it wasn't like, you know, it's not your fault, it's the company's fault, or did you guys face a lot of grief?
They didn't care about that.
Yeah.
I mean, the enemy, and it had been the enemy for years. I mean, the war wasn't just between two companies. I mean, a lot of those guys took pride in it. I mean, because especially how arrogant WCW had been when they started beating WWE and then they beat them for so long, how arrogant they were with the ratings and all that shit.
Right.
But when that coin flipped, oh, you know Vince and them just loved it, and everybody else did too. And it was a real segregated locker room there. You had WCW on one side and WWE on the other. But you know, once the thing with Bagwell happened, somehow my bags ended up on the WWE side, so I was integrated right away.
I was going to say, how long did it really take you to really, you know, feel like, all right, I'm not an outsider anymore? I'm one of the guys.
And luckily, I was great friends with Matt and Jeff, and by that I knew Christian and Edge, and I knew Ron Simmons, and you know, I knew a couple other guys, so I wouldn't have had too big of a problem making friends anyway. You know, I've never had a problem making friends.
I never had
problems making enemies either, but.
Of course, sure. Was there any fear that, you know, it happened with some of the WCW guys, I think, that Vince has had this reputation over the years that if it's not his creation, he's not going to go full board with it. Was there any concern about that on your part, or was it just let this guy do what he wants to do with me?
Well, I had an idea they weren't going to let me be Shane. I mean, I just kind of figured that. You know, and nobody said anything to me. And even on the house shows that we did leading up to the WCW debut on WWE Monday Night Raw or whatever, we did some house shows, and I was Sugar Shane the whole time.
Yeah.
The Cruiserweight Champion, Vertebreaker, coming out to my Vertebreaker music, all that shit. And so I also thought, well, they ain't saying that to me yet. Maybe they're not going to. But I did have an idea about that. And then I was also worried about Helms because, you know, Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Oh,
and I was worried that they might just take my entire name from me. And but I didn't, you know, I didn't know, so I tried not to think about that too much. And until the night that they came in, you know, I was going to debut, and that day is when they told me I couldn't be Shane Helms no more, or Sugar, or do the Record Breaker, or have my music, or have my girls, and I was going to lose the title all in one night. They told me all of that in about a 20-minute span.
Who delivered that great news?
I don't even remember. All I know is I lost about 20 pounds with everything they told me. So by the time they finished, I weighed about, you know, 15 ounces, and I was probably about 7 inches tall.
I thought
they were going to fire me. I was like, man, I might get fired. Like, nothing had happened after the Bagwell thing. Even with him, you know, it was over and done with, and there was still talks of doing stuff with him. You know, the match that he had with Booker T, that was so bad. That was really the, you know, what killed his chances. And it's also, if you heard the Lagana cast, it's why they decided to take the Cruiserweight title off of me. Because I was supposed to come in and do a run with Chavo, establish myself as the Cruiserweight champion, and then I was going to drop the title to Billy in Atlanta. You know, they had decided, you know, Billy was a bigger star than me at that time, Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
And so that was always the idea for me to lose the title to him, but it wasn't going to be on the first night. I was going to be established, you know, showcase me. Then I dropped the title to Billy in Atlanta. And then Billy and X-Pac were going to go and have the unification match. But that was going to, I was going to be in the mix, you know. So, but the Bagwell Booker match was so bad that they decided to, you know, hot shot the whole angle. They figured that out of everybody in the locker room, that me and Billy could have the best match. You know, I guess you know, the agent spoke up for us, Johnny and Arn. Figured that me and Billy could go out there and have the best match. And to hot shot the angle, they'd go ahead and switch the titles, you know, so that WCW could have some sort of impact, because the first match was so negative, you know.
Did you know watching that match, we're in trouble? I mean, was there a vibe in the locker room that this is not good? We're, you know, this stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, it was awful. Like, the WWE guys were back there just cackling, man. They're so, you know, Bradshaw's back there going crazy. You know, it was awful. And some guys were just silent. And, like, the silence was even worse. You know, just watching it, knowing it's awful. You know, and you feel bad. You know, I remember feeling bad for Booker. You know, Booker was a good friend of mine, and remains to this day a great friend of mine. And his version of the story, you know, if you ever get to interview him, you know, just his version of the story is always better, because he's such a classic storyteller. But I felt bad for him. You know, I felt bad for Buff. I don't want to see anybody in a situation like that.
Right. And how long did it take you to realize, okay, this, you know, yeah, they're taking my title away, they're taking my name and my finisher away, but
when that happened,
you sticking around.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God. But they kept reassuring me, you know, like they wanted me to be called Hollywood Helms, and I touched on that a little bit. You know, Stephanie was very reassuring. You know, she was hands-on, and, you know, this don't mean nothing. I know it looks, you know, I know it seems bad, but it don't mean nothing, you know. And I was like, Hollywood Helms? I was like, there's just nothing about me that says Hollywood.
Sure.
You know? I mean, I got a southern ghetto.
Maybe Hollywood floor.
Cajun accent, yeah, that's what I kind of said, maybe Hollywood floor. I'm like, not even there. I mean, there's nothing about my accent, the way I talk, that says Hollywood. Plus, we just had years of Hollywood Hogan. I can't, you know, you don't have a guy that nobody really knows. The WWE audience didn't know me. You don't bring some guy that they don't know to copy Hollywood Hogan, you know. Just, I was against that. So but you can still see it on the Titantron. On my first match with Kid, and I think you can see Hollywood Helms in the background at some point.
There you have it, folks. Again, if you want to hear the full interview, head on over to ProWrestling.net. Take advantage of that summer sale that we have going on for just $5 a month, or annually, $60. And again, it all works out to just $5 a month, either way you slice it. So check it out, the Shane Hurricane Helms interview. There's also a recent interview that I conducted with former WWE Tough Enough star Jeremiah Riggs, and also a tell-all interview with another WWE Tough Enough contestant, Michelle Dighton, along with many other interviews. Again, it's a great time to sign up for access to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, hours of new audio shows each and every week, and the first look at .net news, access to the .net members forum, and much more. Again, just head on over to ProWrestling.net.